Are we the Philadelphia church to help you realize where we are at in Bible prophecy? If that don't work, brother, we can get more later on. So I appreciate the hard work on it. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to go back to verse 7. I want you to begin by reminding you about this city called Philadelphia. Of course, we're not talking about the one in the United States of America. The seven churches in Asia Minor was actually written to churches that existed, to the pastors of those churches that existed in what would be modern-day Turkey nowadays. But the thing we got to realize is all these churches no longer exist. If you were to go over there, all you would see was rubbles and ruins, because the city of Philadelphia was actually sitting on a commerce route, on a trade route, and it was destroyed in AD 17 by an earthquake. The region was prone to earthquakes, and it was destroyed by an earthquake. So the question we've got to ask is, did the words of Jesus be fulfilled then? Or do they have a double meaning? Many times in prophecy we will find the law of double reference, or it will have an application to them that it was written to, but it'll also have an application to us. And I want to show to you that this application tonight shows us that we are the church age that's on the verge of the Lord's return. Can somebody say amen in the house of the Lord? Hallelujah. Now look at chapter 3, verse 7 again. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy. Hallelujah. How many of you know somebody that's holy is not going to make a mistake? Jesus is not going to say something and it not come to pass. So it's important for us to realize these definitions that he gives himself applies to us, because it helps us to understand that his word is the truth. And we can believe it above all else. These things saith he that is holy, he that is true. He's telling you the truth. You can take the word of God to the bank. He that hath the keys of David. That means that he is the heir to the throne of David. How many of you know that Jesus is Messiah? Amen. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the one that God promised David would sit on his throne forever, executing righteousness, and the lineage of David would exist forever. And that's what the key of David means. He that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. How many of you know when Jesus says it's over, it's over? Amen. When Jesus says it's going, it's going. Ain't nobody going to stop it. We need to understand, above all else, in light of COVID, in light of everything that's going on, our God is in control. As I told you this morning, your God is in control, no matter what's going on in your life. Now look with me at verse 8. Understanding these descriptive terms of himself, Jesus goes on and he says something powerful. And he says this to every church that he wrote to. I know thy works. Look at your neighbor and say, he knows what you're doing. You might fool your mama, you might fool daddy, you might fool the pastor, but you're not fooling Jesus. He knows thy works. Now notice this. This is important for us to understand in the generation we live in. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. I told you before, or once before, that there was 195 countries in the world, and I have had to revise that. There's actually 220 countries and regions in the world, and I'll tell you why I had to revise that in just a little bit. But I want you to realize the church of God is in a majority of these countries, in over 197 countries in the world. There's probably many others when you look at what our Baptist and Methodist and Presbyterian, as we go on and on, talk about the different faiths of Christianity that are in the world. The world is probably covered in Christianity. But it's interesting to note that in the region where these letters were sent, in Turkey, modern-day Turkey, only 2% of people living in Turkey are Christians. But there is an open door before the church like never before. How many of you remember in the 80s when Ronald Reagan said to Mikhail Gorbachev, Mr. Gorbachev, bring down those walls? You remember that? And what a great day it was when the Berlin Wall came down. And people were able to cross in Germany, and they were able to communicate with one another again openly. Hallelujah. Freedom came in, but the gospel went in where it couldn't go in before. We see Russia now opening to the gospel. Different places opening to the gospel. There is an open door for the church like never before. But I want to tell you, the door is closing. The Bible tells us that we don't always have all the time in the world to get it right. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Yes, we got to work while it is light. Darkness is coming. We need to witness. I'm so proud. Praise the Lord for what He does to the World Church of God. You give above and beyond the missions every year. Every year we've been here, God has really blessed this church. And God has really blessed in your giving to world missions. But notice what it says here. And I want you to underscore this in your Bible. No man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word. Now I want you to think about this word just for a moment. There are churches practically on every street corner in the United States of America, but look at how uninfluential we are in politics today. Amen. The word of God is holding on by a thread. Conservatism is holding on by a thread. Why? Because the church has a little strength. The devil is taking over. Unbelief is taking over and running rapid. We need to understand that as we go forward. Hallelujah. There's going to come a time where people will kill the child of God thinking that they're working in the name of the Lord, doing a work for God. But understand this. Thou hast a little strength, but here's the key. Thou hast kept my word. I want to tell you again and again and again, beloved. Above all else, do not reject this word.
Amen.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Thy word is a light unto my path. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. But not only that, you need to understand and realize this. Right along with the word of God, you cannot deny His name. Because you can't be saved apart from faith in Jesus Christ. Unless you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you're not going to make it in. Unless you repent of your sins, you're not going to make it in. You got to keep the word and you got to hold on to the name. Hallelujah. Why is it that so many of us are battling with sicknesses and so many of us are battling with financial problems? It's because the devil's trying to get you to deny His name. Why is it that right now, people are so concerned over offending different movements. And oh, they're so concerned because they want you to deny the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. I will not bow my knee to any other name but Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
I will not compromise His word for the sake of pleasing somebody's feelings. We say it in love and we say it earnestly and we hold on to it. But understand what it says here. I've already given you just a few reasons why we know we are the rapture church age. But look with me at verse 9. Revelation chapter 3 verse 9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan which say they are Jews and are not but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet. And to know that I have loved thee. Now, he hadn't been talking about something more than that church that was there at Philadelphia because the church isn't there anymore. And if you go back and you study archaeology, archaeology will tell you the closest synagogue was 70 miles away. So who is he talking about here? He's talking about false Christians who hate the church, who hate the true church. He's talking about the Jewish people and others who hate the church. Beloved, I'm going to tell you, there's some people who hate what we stand for because we stand for the truth. We stand for living right. They'll tell you, oh, I love Jesus, but yet you talk about living right, they'll get mad at you. You talk to them about coming to church, there's going to come a day when they're going to say, Mama was right, Daddy was right, Grandpa was right, Grandma was right, but it'll be too late then. You hold on to the word. You hold on to the truth.
Amen. Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus is going to let them know you were right. Hallelujah. Let's go on to verse 10. This to me is a rapture passage that is often overlooked. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. We already looked at it. We need to hold on to His name and His word. We need to keep the word when everybody else is forsaking the word. We need to live right when everybody else is living wrong. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world. Everybody say all the world. To try them that dwell upon the earth. How many of you realize they call it World War One? But during World War One, only 100 countries, I told you there are currently 220 countries in the world, but only 100 countries were involved in World War One. That tells me that that wasn't the tribulation. So many people believe that. World War Two, they'll tell you, was the tribulation. 30 countries was only involved in World War Two. So that couldn't have been the tribulation, because this is going to be a global event. The tribulation is going to be global. I told you before that the Antichrist is going to be the beast is going to be a global ruler with regional leaders. But I want you to notice something here. I did a little research, and this is what I found out. It's amazing to me. Do you know that out of these 220 countries, COVID-19 is in every one of them? And in Habakkuk chapter 3, we find something interesting. I won't hit on it a whole lot here, but we'll go back to it later on at a later date. But the Bible says this, talking about the Lord, that a pestilence goes before him. How close are we to the Lord coming back? 445 million people have died currently because of COVID-19. That's a pestilence. In comparison, AIDS epidemic have taken out 45 million, but 445 million people have died because of COVID-19. Beloved, I'm going to tell you, we're on the doorstep of the Lord coming back. Amen. And just while we've had little pockets of God's given us glimpses of what the tribulation is going to be like on a global scale, we're not there yet. We're at the doorstep of the rapture. We better be ready. Hallelujah. Notice what it says here. Which shall come upon all the world. Everybody try it. Say it again. All the world.
All the world.
To try them that dwell upon the earth. That indicates it's not everybody that's going to be on the earth. There's going to be some people that's going to be somewhere else. And you can look at it in Revelation 13, because when the beast comes into power, he's going to curse the temple. He's going to curse God. And he's going to blaspheme those that dwell in heaven. Why is that? Because the rapture happened. Hallelujah. I've been studying this thing, bless God. And I said, I'm learning more every day. Look with me at verse 11 of Revelation chapter 3. Notice what Jesus said here in the first century. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man, everybody say no man, take thy crown. Beloved, I want to tell you something. You need to live right. You need to walk right. You need to make sure you're lining up with the word of God. There's going to come people that are going to try to tell you, you don't need to keep that word. You don't need to do what the Bible says. Oh, that was just then. That just applied to them. No, we need to make sure we make an application of the word of God to all of our life.
Amen.
For this generation, we need to realize a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. When Jesus said that to him, he just got the words out of his mouth. He's getting ready to come back. Now look at verse 12 with me as we look at Revelation chapter 3. He gives us a promise here. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. One of the things that I was studying about this region of Philadelphia was that it was at the base of a mountain, and it was prone, the whole region was prone to earthquakes. And so that is talking about how we're going to be solid in God. Hallelujah. We're going to be in the New Jerusalem with God. We're going to stand with him. And he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. Now, I want you to get this in your mind for a minute. Think about how intimate Jesus is being with you. And he's being with those who don't deny his name, who hold on to his word. Hallelujah. Ain't that a beautiful imagery right there? He's saying, you're mine. And I'm claiming you. Hallelujah. It's a lot like when me and Alicia got married. You know, we signed the marriage license there. I had to sign my name and she had to sign her name. We were claiming each other in the eyes of the Lord and in the eyes of God as husband and wife. In the same way, Jesus is saying, I'm claiming you as my own. You remember in Scripture, he said that those who do not deny him, that he will not deny them before the Father and before the angels. Hallelujah. If you profess Jesus as Lord and you witness to people and you testify, you come to church, you live right, you do what God calls you to do, you got a day coming where Jesus is going to say, that one's mine. Amen. I believe he does it now. When the devil comes and he tempts you spiritually, he tells the enemy, you got to get your hands off of him, Satan. That one belongs to me. She belongs to me. She's confessed with her mouth that Jesus is Lord and believed in her heart that God raised me from the dead. You can't touch that one, Satan. Hallelujah. My blood covers their life. Understands this. I will write upon him my new name. Now, there's a lot of debate about what the new name of Jesus is. Some people say it's Yeshua. Some people say that it's this or that. I believe it's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Owner of it all. Hallelujah. You can put up there the completer. But this is going to be an intimate time. It's going to be a special time because you've held on. And you would not deny his name. Hallelujah. When you stumbled and you fell and you did things you shouldn't do, you got up and you kept walking on. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 13. And I think this, when it comes to studying prophecy, is key for us to understand. You are entitled to your opinion. I'm entitled to my opinion. And we can agree to disagree. Or we can grab hold of it. Because ultimately it's up to us. Are we willing to receive the words of Jesus? I don't know about you, but I'm going to believe what Jesus said. Amen. Notice what it says here. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Very simply, that means this. You can take it or leave it. It's your choice. The Bible says, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, why can't this church age that we're living in be the Laodicean church age? Let me give you just a couple of reasons right now. When you get a chance, go back and read verses 15 on of Revelation chapter 3. The church age then is lukewarm. They have absolutely no redeeming qualities in that church age. There's going to be people who's going to get right after the rapture happens. They're going to realize, oh, Lord, Mama was right. Daddy was right. Grandpa was right. And they're going to get right, but they're going to have to do it at the loss of their life. They're going to go through great persecution. They're in danger of divine judgment. Are you in danger of divine judgment tonight? Then you can't be the Laodicean church, are you? You're doing what God calls you to do. As you go on with this, you look at them, they are rich in worldly goods, but poor in spiritual goods. And are you poor? Are you a poor church spiritually? Are you full of Jesus? I don't know about you, but I'm full of Jesus. Hallelujah. I pray and seek the Lord, and I stay on my heart. Glory to God. These are going to be people that they're going to have a name of being children of God, but they're not going to have the works following. And we can go on. Look at this. We need to understand this. As we get ready to close, you read Revelation chapter 3. These are letters written to the seven church pastors. Did the chap pastors succeed? Only God knows. Are they that just to the church ages? I believe there are multiple applications. I believe it was to the church leaders that was living then. I believe that it applies to the church ages, which we are, the Philadelphia church age. In my opinion, we're the rapture generation, in my opinion. We're on the doorstep of the rapture. And we got to be ready. Hallelujah. But last and not least, there is also an individual application. Individually, I could be the Philadelphia church. What it says could apply to me. But the Laodicean church or the Smyrna church or Thyatira could apply to others. We need to make sure. I don't know about you, but the one I want to be like is the Philadelphia church. I want to be ready to go when Jesus comes. I want him to know my works, and I want him to know that I'm holding on to him and I'm not letting go of him. Hallelujah. And I want you to realize tonight, the Lord could come back. We're getting ready to go on vacation. The Lord could come back while we're on vacation. I don't want to go slack while I'm on vacation. I don't want to go slack while I'm at work or while my children might be at school. I don't want to go on slack because the Lord can come back. They need to be ready. I'm going to ask the praise team if they'll get ready to come back to the instruments and take us back to the throne of grace. 220 countries and territories have been affected by COVID-19. As we go to the Lord in prayer, I want you to look at these six reasons why we're on the doorsteps of the rapture tonight. Number one, the rapture hasn't happened, has it? You can't find anywhere in world history where a bunch of people disappeared and they don't know where they went. Different pocket, different thing. Number two, there is not one redeeming quality of the Laodicean church age. Number three, we have an open door like never before to carry the gospel. Brother Tim, Brother John brought it out in Sunday school today. You can go just about anywhere in the world in just a few hours. And you can travel around the world. I went to India, and it only took me 13 hours to get to India. When I went to Israel, it was only 13 hours to get there. Little influence, though. We have great opposition against us. And there has not been a global tribulation of unheard proportion, but it's coming. We see the start of it with COVID-19. Beloved, are you ready for the rapture? I'm going to ask every head to bow, every eye to close. Praise team, take us to the throne room of grace. Hallelujah. So that when you come back, I'll be ready to go. Hallelujah. Won't you pray and talk to the Lord as the praise team leads us in song? The altars are open if you want to come here, or if you want to pray in your seats. Just spend some time talking to the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Go ahead, praise team. Lord, help us not to grow slack in these days of tribulation and persecution like never before, of temptation and trials. Help us not to give up, O God. Help us, O God, not to give up praying for our lost loved ones. Help us not to give up, O God, seeking you, O Lord God, for your greatest gift, which is salvation. Lord, I pray that you would touch everyone under the sound of my voice tonight, Lord God. If there's anything that would keep them from going in the rapture, help them to get it under the blood. If there's anything that would keep them from hearing you say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter in into the kingdom that was prepared for them from the foundation of the world, help them to get it under the blood, Lord. We pray for our families tonight, Lord God. Those that need to be here, but they're not for whatever reason, Lord, we ask you to touch them, to save them, sanctify them, fill them with the Holy Ghost. Lord, we don't want the family circle to be unbroken, God. We want them there, Lord. We cry out, oh God, Lord, help them to get a cross in their life. Lord, we pray for our backslid folk, oh God, that you would bring them right with you, oh Lord, God, that you would bring them back, Lord. Help them to be ready to go, Lord, because you're coming, and we want to be ready. And Father, we give you the praise and glory and honor because we believe, Lord God, that your return is even at the door. And we're so excited about it, Lord. We're looking with anticipation. We're listening, God, for the trump to sound. We're looking to see our loved ones who have passed on. Get up out of the ground, Lord God. Hallelujah. We're looking to meet them in the air with our Lord and Savior and be with you forever. God, we give you the praise and glory and honor for it. Have your way in our world. Have your way in our lives, God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Can you give the Lord praise tonight? Hallelujah. I am studying this thing. I want to be right. Hallelujah. I used to not mess with prophecy because I said, who can understand it? But God corrected me on that. I want you to be ready. Don't you?
Amen.
Don't you want your family to be ready and to stay ready? The Bible says, in the last day, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We need to make sure we stay on fire for Jesus. Amen. Love you. Y'all be praying for us as we go on vacation. Tennessee's not too far away. If I got to get back, we can get back. But Brother Tim will be here. I know he'll have everything under control. If you need anything, call him. And we love you. Thank you for allowing us the opportunity to be your pastors. If all hearts and minds are clear, Brother Kasai, would you dismiss us with a word of prayer?
Father God, we come for your grace to
this evening, Father. We come humbly thanking you for another day. Thanking you for your word, Father. Be ready. Ready to go.
Are we the Philadelphia church? To help you realize where we are at in Bible prophecy. In fact, don't worry, brother. We'll get going later on. So
we got
the hard work on it. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to go back to verse 7. I want you to begin by reminding you about this city called Philadelphia. Of course, we're not talking about the one in the United States of America. The seven churches in Asia Minor was actually written to churches that existed, to the pastors of those churches that existed in what would be modern-day Turkey nowadays. But the thing we got to realize is all these churches no longer exist. If you were to go over there, all you would see was rubbles and ruins, because the city of Philadelphia was actually sitting on a commerce route, on a trade route, and it was destroyed in AD 17 by an earthquake. The region was prone to earthquakes, and it was destroyed by an earthquake. So the question we've got to ask is, did the words of Jesus be fulfilled then? Or do they have a double meaning? Many times in prophecy we will find the law of double reference, or it will have an application to them that it was written to, but it will also have an application to us. And I want to show to you that this application tonight shows us that we are the church age that's on the verge of the Lord's return. Can somebody say amen in the house of the Lord? Hallelujah. Now look at chapter 3, verse 7 again. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy. Hallelujah. How many of you know somebody that's holy is not going to make a mistake? Jesus is not going to say something and it not come to pass. So it's important for us to realize these definitions that he gives himself applies to us, because it helps us to understand that his word is the truth. And we can believe it above all else. These saints saith he that is holy, he that is true. He's telling you the truth. You can take the word of God to the bank. He that hath the keys of David. That means that he is the heir to the throne of David. How many of you know that Jesus is Messiah? He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the one that God promised David would sit on his throne forever, executing righteousness, and the lineage of David would exist forever. And that's what the key of David means. He that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. How many of you know when Jesus says it's over, it's over? Amen. When Jesus says it's going, it's going. Ain't nobody going to stop it. We need to understand, above all else, in light of COVID, in light of everything that's going on, our God is in control. As I told you this morning, your God is in control, no matter what's going on in your life. Now look with me at verse 8. Understanding these descriptive terms of himself, Jesus goes on and he says something powerful. And he says this to every church that he wrote to. I know thy works. Look at your neighbor and say, he knows what you're doing. You might fool your mama, you might fool daddy, you might fool the pastor, but you're not fooling Jesus. He knows thy works. Now notice this. This is important for us to understand in the generation we live in. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. I told you once before, that there was 195 countries in the world, and I have had to revise that. There's actually 220 countries and regions in the world, and I'll tell you why I had to revise that in just a little bit. But I want you to realize the Church of God is in a majority of these countries, in over 197 countries in the world. There's probably many others when you look at what our Baptist and Methodist and Presbyterian, as we go on and on, talk about different faiths of Christianity that are in the world. The world is probably covered in Christianity. But it's interesting to note that in the region where these letters were sent, in Turkey, modern-day Turkey, only 2% of people living in Turkey are Christians. But there is an open door before the church like never before. How many of you remember in the 80s when Ronald Reagan said to Mikhail Gorbachev, Mr. Gorbachev, bring down those walls? You remember that? And what a great day it was when the Berlin Wall came down and people were able to cross in Germany, and they were able to communicate with one another again openly. Hallelujah. Freedom came in, but the gospel went in where it couldn't go in before. We see Russia now opening to the gospel. Different places opening to the gospel. There is an open door for the church like never before. But I want to tell you, the door is closing. The Bible tells us that we don't always have all the time in the world to get it right. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. We got to work while it is light. Darkness is coming. We need to witness. I'm so proud. Praise the Lord for what He does to the World Church of God. You give above and beyond the missions every year. Every year we've been here, God has really blessed this church. And God is really blessed in your giving to world missions. But notice what it says here. And I want you to underscore this in your Bible. No man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word. Now I want you to think about this word just for a moment. There are churches practically on every street corner in the United States of America. But look at how uninfluential we are in politics today. Amen. The word of God is holding on by a thread. Conservatism is holding on by a thread. Why? Because the church has a little strength. The devil is taking over. Unbelief is taking over and running rapid. We need to understand that as we go forward. Hallelujah. There's going to come a time where people will kill the child of God thinking that they're working in the name of the Lord, doing a work for God. But understand this. Thou hast a little strength, but here's the key. Thou hast kept my word. I want to tell you again and again and again, beloved. Above all else, do not reject this word.
Amen.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Thy word is a light unto my path. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. But not only that, you need to understand and realize this. Right along with the word of God, you cannot deny His name. Because you can't be saved apart from faith in Jesus Christ. Unless you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you're not going to make it in. Unless you repent of your sins, you're not going to make it in. You got to keep the word, and you got to hold on to the name. Hallelujah. Why is it that so many of us are battling with sicknesses, and so many of us are battling with financial problems? It's because the devil's trying to get you to deny His name. Why is it that right now, people are so concerned over offending different movements. And oh, they're so concerned because they want you to deny the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. I will not bow my knee to any other name but Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
I will not compromise His word for the sake of pleasing somebody's feelings. We say it in love and we say it earnestly and we hold on to it. But understand what it says here. I've already given you just a few reasons why we know we are the rapture church age. But look with me at verse 9. Revelation chapter 3 verse 9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan which say they are Jews and are not but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet. And to know that I have loved thee. Now, he hadn't been talking about something more than that church that was there at Philadelphia because the church isn't there anymore. And if you go back and you study archaeology will tell you the closest synagogue was 70 miles away. So who is he talking about here? He's talking about false Christians who hate the church, who hate the true church. He's talking about the Jewish people and others who hate the church. Beloved, I'm going to tell you, there's some people who hate what we stand for because we stand for the truth. We stand for living right. They'll tell you, oh, I love Jesus, but yet you talk about living right, they'll get mad at you. You talk to them about coming to church, there's going to come a day when they're going to say, Mama was right, Daddy was right, Grandpa was right, Grandma was right, but it'll be too late then. You hold on to the word. You hold on to the truth.
Amen. Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus is going to let them know you were right. Hallelujah. Let's go on to verse 10. This to me is a rapture passage that is often overlooked. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. We already looked at it. We need to hold on to His name and His word. We need to keep the word when everybody else is forsaking the word. We need to live right when everybody else is living wrong. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world. Everybody say all the world. To try them that dwell upon the earth. How many of you realize they call it World War I? But during World War I, only 100 countries, I've told you there are currently 220 countries in the world, but only 100 countries were involved in World War I. That tells me that that wasn't the tribulation. So many people believe that. World War II, they'll tell you, was the tribulation. 30 countries was only involved in World War II. So that couldn't have been the tribulation, because this is going to be a global event. The tribulation is going to be global. I told you before that the Antichrist is going to be the beast is going to be a global ruler with regional leaders. But I want you to notice something here. I did a little research, and this is what I found out. It's amazing to me. Do you know that out of these 220 countries, COVID-19 is in every one of them? And in Habakkuk chapter 3, we find something interesting. I won't hit on it a whole lot here, but we'll go back to it later on at a later date. But the Bible says this, talking about the Lord, that a pestilence goes before him. How close are we to the Lord coming back? 445 million people have died currently because of COVID-19. That's a pestilence. In comparison, AIDS epidemic have taken out 45 million, but 445 million people have died because of COVID-19. Beloved, I'm going to tell you, we're on the doorstep of the Lord coming back. Amen. And just while we've had little pockets of God's given us glimpses of what the tribulation is going to be like on a global scale, we're not there yet. We're at the doorstep of the rapture. We better be ready. Hallelujah. Notice what it says here. Which shall come upon all the world. Everybody try it. Say it again. All the world.
All the world.
To try them that dwell upon the earth. That indicates us not everybody is going to be on the earth. There's going to be some people that's going to be somewhere else. And you can look at it in Revelation 13, because when the beast comes into power, he's going to curse the temple. He's going to curse God. And he's going to blaspheme those that dwell in heaven. Why is that? Because the rapture happened. Hallelujah. I've been studying this thing, bless God. And I said, I'm learning more every day. Look with me at verse 11 of Revelation chapter 3. Notice what Jesus said here in the first century. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man, everybody say no man, take thy crown. Beloved, I'm going to tell you something. You need to live right. You need to walk right. You need to make sure you're lining up with the word of God. There's going to come people that are going to try to tell you. You don't need to keep that word. You don't need to do what the Bible says. Oh, that was just then. That just applied to them. No, we need to make sure we make an application of the word of God to all of our life.
Amen.
For this generation, we need to realize a day with the Lord is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is as a day. When Jesus said that to him, he just got the words out of his mouth. He's getting ready to come back. Now look at verse 12 with me as we look at Revelation chapter 3. He gives us a promise here. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. One of the things that I was studying about this region of Philadelphia was that it was at the base of a mountain, and it was prone, the whole region was prone to earthquakes. And so that is talking about how we're going to be solid in God. Hallelujah. We're going to be in the New Jerusalem with God. We're going to stand with him. And he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. Now I want you to get this in your mind for a minute. Think about how intimate Jesus is being with you. And he's being with those who don't deny his name, who hold on to his word. Hallelujah. Ain't that a beautiful imagery right there? He's saying, you're mine. And I'm claiming you. Hallelujah. It's a lot like when me and Alicia got married. You know, we signed a marriage license there. I had to sign my name and she had to sign her name. We were claiming each other in the eyes of the Lord and in the eyes of God as husband and wife. In the same way Jesus is saying, I'm claiming you as my own. You remember in Scripture, he said that those who do not deny him, that he will not deny them before the Father and before the angels. Hallelujah. If you profess Jesus as Lord and you witness to people and you testify, you come to church, you live right, you do what God calls you to do, you got a day coming where Jesus is going to say, that one's mine. Amen. I believe he does it now. When the devil comes and he tempts you spiritually, he tells the enemy, you got to get your hands off of him, Satan. That one belongs to me. She belongs to me. She's confessed with her mouth that Jesus is Lord and believed in her heart that God raised me from the dead. You can't touch that one, Satan. Hallelujah. My blood covers their life. Understands this. I will write upon him my new name. Now, there's a lot of debate about what the new name of Jesus is. Some people say it's Yeshua. Some people say that it's this or that. I believe it's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Owner of it all. Hallelujah. You can put up there the completer. But this is going to be an intimate time. It's going to be a special time because you've held on. And you would not deny his name. Hallelujah. When you stumbled and you fell and you did things you shouldn't do, you got up and you kept walking on. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 13. And I think this, when it comes to studying prophecy, is key for us to understand. You are entitled to your opinion. And I'm entitled to my opinion. And we can agree to disagree. Or we can grab hold of it. Because ultimately it's up to us. Are we willing to receive the words of Jesus? I don't know about you, but I'm going to believe what Jesus said. Amen. Notice what it says here. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Very simply, that means this. You can take it or leave it. It's your choice. The Bible says, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, why can't this church age that we're living in be the Laodicean church age? Let me give you just a couple of reasons right now. When you get a chance, go back and read verses 15 on of Revelation chapter 3. The church age then is lukewarm. They have absolutely no redeeming qualities in that church age. There's going to be people who's going to get right after the rapture happens. They're going to realize, oh, Lord, Mama was right. Daddy was right. Grandpa was right. And they're going to get right, but they're going to have to do it at the loss of their life. They're going to go through great persecution. They're in danger of divine judgment. Are you in danger of divine judgment tonight? Then you can't be the Laodicean church, are you? You're doing what God calls you to do. As you go on with this, you look at them, they are rich in worldly goods, but poor in spiritual goods. And are you poor? Are you a poor church spiritually? Are you full of Jesus? I don't know about you, but I'm full of Jesus. Hallelujah. I pray and seek the Lord, and I stay on my heart. Glory to God. These are going to be people that they're going to have a name of being children of God, but they're not going to have the works following. And we can go on. Look at this. We need to understand this. As we get ready to close, you read Revelation chapter 3. These are letters written to the seven church pastors. Did the chap pastors succeed? Only God knows. Are they that just to the church ages? I believe they're multiple applications. I believe it was to the church leaders that was living then. I believe that it applies to the church ages, which we are, the Philadelphia church age. In my opinion, we're the rapture generation. In my opinion, we're on the doorstep of the rapture. And we got to be ready. Hallelujah. But last but not least, there's also an individual application. Individually, I could be the Philadelphia church, what it says could apply to me. But the Laodicean church, or the Smyrna church, or Thyatira could apply to others. We need to make sure. I don't know about you, but the one I want to be like is the Philadelphia church. I want to be ready to go when Jesus comes. I want him to know my works, and I want him to know that I'm holding on to him and I'm not letting go of him. Hallelujah. And I want you to realize tonight, the Lord could come back. We're getting ready to go on vacation. The Lord could come back while we're on vacation. I don't want to go slack while I'm on vacation. I don't want to go slack while I'm at work or while my children might be at school. I don't want to go on slack because the Lord could come back. They need to be ready. I'm going to ask the praise team if they'll get ready to come back through the instruments and take us back to the throne of grace. 220 countries and territories have been affected by COVID-19. As we go to the Lord in prayer, I want you to look at these six reasons why we're on the doorsteps of the rapture tonight. Number one, the rapture hasn't happened, has it? You can't find anywhere in world history where a bunch of people disappeared and they don't know where they went. Different pockets, different things. Number two, there is not one redeeming quality of the Laodicean church age. Number three, we have an open door like never before to carry the gospel. Brother Tim, Brother John brought it out in Sunday school today. You can go just about anywhere in the world in just a few hours. And you can travel around the world. I went to India, and it only took me 13 hours to get to India. When I went to Israel, it was only 13 hours to get there. Little influence, though. We have great opposition against us. And there has not been a global tribulation of unheard proportion, but it's coming. We see the start of it with COVID-19. Beloved, are you ready for the rapture? I'm going to ask every head to bow, every eye to close. Praise team takes to the throne room of grace. So that when you come back, I'll be ready to go. Hallelujah. Won't you pray and talk to the Lord as the praise team leads us in song? The altars are open if you want to come here, or if you want to pray in your seats. Just spend some time talking to the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Go ahead, praise team. Persecution like never before, of temptation and trials. Help us not to give up, O God. Help us, O God, not to give up praying for our lost loved ones. Help us not to give up, O God, seeking you, O Lord God, for your greatest gift, which is salvation. Lord, I pray that you would touch everyone under the sound of my voice tonight, Lord God. If there's anything that would keep them from going in the rapture, help them to get it under the blood. If there's anything that would keep them from hearing you say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter in into the kingdom that was prepared for them from the foundation of the world. Help them to get it under the blood, Lord. We pray for our families tonight, Lord God. Those that need to be here, but they're not, for whatever reason, Lord, we ask you to touch them, to save them, sanctify them, fill them with the Holy Ghost. Lord, we don't want the family circle to be unbroken, God. We want them there, Lord. We cry out, oh God, Lord, help them to get a cross in their life. Lord, we pray for our backslid folk, oh God, that you would bring them right with you, oh Lord. God, that you would bring them back, Lord. Help them to be ready to go, Lord, because you're coming, and we want to be ready. And Father, we give you the praise and glory and honor because we believe, Lord God, that your return is even at the door. And we're so excited about it, Lord. We're looking with anticipation. We're listening, God, for the trump to sound. We're looking to see our loved ones who have passed on, get up out of the ground, Lord God. Hallelujah. We're looking to meet them in the air with our Lord and Savior and be with you forever. God, we give you the praise and glory and honor for it. Have your way in our world. Have your way in our lives, God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Can you give the Lord praise tonight? Hallelujah. I am studying this thing. I want to be right. Hallelujah. I used to not mess with prophecy because I said, who can understand it? But God corrected me on that. I want you to be ready. Don't you?
Amen.
Don't you want your family to be ready and to stay ready? The Bible says, in the last day, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We need to make sure we stay on fire for Jesus. Amen. Love you. Y'all be praying for us as we go on vacation. Tennessee's not too far away. If I got to get back, we can get back. But Brother Tim will be here. I know he'll have everything under control. If you need anything, call him. And we love you. Thank you for allowing us the opportunity to be your pastors. If all hearts and minds are clear, Brother Kasai, would you dismiss us with a word of prayer?
Father God, we come for your grace to this evening, Father. We come humbly thanking you for another day. Thanking you for your word, Father. Be ready. Ready to go.
Are we the Philadelphia church? To help you realize where we are at in Bible prophecy. If that don't work, brother, we can get going later on. So I appreciate the hard work on it. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to go back to verse 7. I want you to begin by reminding you about this city called Philadelphia. Of course, we're not talking about the one in the United States of America. The seven churches in Asia Minor was actually written to churches that existed, to the pastors of those churches that existed in what would be modern-day Turkey nowadays. But the thing we got to realize is all these churches no longer exist. If you were to go over there, all you would see was rubbles and ruins, because the city of Philadelphia was actually sitting on a commerce route, on a trade route, and it was destroyed in AD 17 by an earthquake. The region was prone to earthquakes, and it was destroyed by an earthquake. So the question we've got to ask is, did the words of Jesus be fulfilled then? Or do they have a double meaning? Many times in prophecy we will find the law of double reference, or it will have an application to them that it was written to, but it'll also have an application to us. And I want to show to you that this application tonight shows us that we are the church age that's on the verge of the Lord's return. Can somebody say amen in the house of the Lord? Hallelujah. Now look at chapter 3, verse 7 again. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy. Hallelujah. How many of you know somebody that's holy is not going to make a mistake? Jesus is not going to say something and it not come to pass. So it's important for us to realize these definitions that he gives himself applies to us, because it helps us to understand that his word is the truth. And we can believe it above all else. These saints saith he that is holy, he that is true. He's telling you the truth. You can take the word of God to the bank. He that hath the keys of David. That means that he is the heir to the throne of David. How many of you know that Jesus is Messiah? Amen. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the one that God promised David would sit on his throne forever, executing righteousness, and the lineage of David would exist forever. And that's what the key of David means. He that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. How many of you know when Jesus says it's over, it's over? Amen. When Jesus says it's going, it's going. Ain't nobody going to stop it. We need to understand, above all else, in light of COVID, in light of everything that's going on, our God is in control. As I told you this morning, your God is in control, no matter what's going on in your life. Now look with me at verse 8. Understanding these descriptive terms of himself, Jesus goes on and he says something powerful. And he says this to every church that he wrote to. I know thy works. Look at your neighbor and say, he knows what you're doing. You might fool your mama, you might fool daddy, you might fool the pastor, but you're not fooling Jesus. He knows thy works. Now notice this. This is important for us to understand in the generation we live in. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. I told you once before, that there was 195 countries in the world, and I have had to revise that. There's actually 220 countries and regions in the world, and I'll tell you why I had to revise that in just a little bit. But I want you to realize the Church of God is in a majority of these countries, in over 197 countries in the world. There's probably many others when you look at what our Baptist and Methodist and Presbyterian, as we go on and on, talk about different face of Christianity that are in the world is probably covered in Christianity. But it's interesting to note that in the region where these letters were sent, in Turkey, modern day Turkey, only 2% of people living in Turkey are Christians. But there is an open door before the church like never before. How many of you remember in the 80s when Ronald Reagan said to Mikhail Gorbachev, Mr. Gorbachev, bring down those walls. You remember that? And what a great day it was when the Berlin Wall came down. town, and people were able to cross in Germany, and they were able to communicate with one another again openly. Hallelujah. Freedom came in, but the gospel went in where it couldn't go in before. We see Russia now opening to the gospel. Different places opening to the gospel. There is an open door for the church like never before. But I want to tell you, the door is closing. The Bible tells us that we don't always have all the time in the world to get it right. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Yes, we got to work while it is light. Darkness is coming. We need to witness. I'm so proud. Praise the Lord for what He does to the World Church of God. You give above and beyond the missions every year. Every year we've been here, God has really blessed this church. And God is really blessed in your giving to world missions. But notice what it says here. And I want you to underscore this in your Bible. No man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word. Now I want you to think about this word just for a moment. There are churches practically on every street corner in the United States of America, but look at how uninfluential we are in politics today. Amen. The word of God is holding on by a thread. Conservatism is holding on by a thread. Why? Because the church has a little strength. The devil is taking over. Unbelief is taking over and running rapid. We need to understand that as we go forward. Hallelujah. There's going to come a time where people will kill the child of God thinking that they're working in the name of the Lord, doing a work for God. But understand this. Thou hast a little strength, but here's the key. Thou hast kept my word. I want to tell you again and again and again, beloved, above all else, do not reject this word.
Amen.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Thy word is a light unto my path. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. But not only that, you need to understand and realize this. Right along with the word of God, you cannot deny His name. Because you can't be saved apart from faith in Jesus Christ. Unless you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you're not going to make it in. Unless you repent of your sins, you're not going to make it in. You got to keep the word and you got to hold on to the name. Hallelujah. Why is it that so many of us are battling with sicknesses and so many of us are battling with financial problems? It's because the devil's trying to get you to deny His name. Why is it that right now, people are so concerned over offending different movements. And oh, they're so concerned because they want you to deny the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. I will not bow my knee to any other name but Jesus.
Amen.
I will not compromise His word for the sake of pleasing somebody's feelings. We say it in love and we say it earnestly and we hold on to it. But understand what it says here. I've already given you just a few reasons why we know we are the rapture church age. But look with me at verse 9. Revelation chapter 3, verse 9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Now, he hadn't been talking about something more than that church that was there at Philadelphia, because the church isn't there anymore. And if you go back and you study archaeology will tell you the closest synagogue was 70 miles away. So who is he talking about here? He's talking about false Christians who hate the church, who hate the true church. He's talking about the Jewish people and others who hate the church. Beloved, I'm going to tell you, there's some people who hate what we stand for because we stand for the truth. We stand for living right. They'll tell you, oh, I love Jesus, but yet you talk about living right, they'll get mad at you. You talk to them about coming to church, there's going to come a day when they're going to say, Mama was right, Daddy was right, Grandpa was right, Grandma was right, but it'll be too late then. You hold on to the word. You hold on to the truth.
Amen. Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus is going to let them know you were right. Hallelujah. Let's go on to verse 10. This to me is a rapture passage that is often overlooked. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. We already looked at it. We need to hold on to His name and His word. We need to keep the word when everybody else is forsaking the word. We need to live right when everybody else is living wrong. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world. Everybody say all the world. To try them that dwell upon the earth. How many of you realize they call it World War I? But during World War I, only 100 countries, I told you there are currently 220 countries in the world, but only 100 countries were involved in World War I. That tells me that that wasn't the tribulation. So many people believe that. World War II, they'll tell you, was the tribulation. 30 countries was only involved in World War II. So that couldn't have been the tribulation, because this is going to be a global event. The tribulation is going to be global. I told you before that the Antichrist is going to be the beast is going to be a global ruler with regional leaders. But I want you to notice something here. I did a little research, and this is what I found out. It's amazing to me. Do you know that out of these 220 countries, COVID-19 is in every one of them? And then Habakkuk chapter 3, we find something interesting. Now, I won't hit on it a whole lot here, but we'll go back to it later on at a later date. But the Bible says this, talking about the Lord, that a pestilence goes before him. How close are we to the Lord coming back? 445 million people have died currently because of COVID-19. That's a pestilence. In comparison, AIDS epidemic have taken out 45 million, but 445 million people have died because of COVID-19. Beloved, I'm going to tell you, we're on the doorstep of the Lord coming back. Amen. And just while we've had little pockets of God's given us glimpses of what the tribulation is going to be like on a global scale, we're not there yet. We're at the doorstep of the rapture. We better be ready. Hallelujah. Notice what it says here. Which shall come upon all the world. Everybody try it. Say it again. All the world.
All the world.
To try them that dwell upon the earth. That indicates it's not everybody that's going to be on the earth. There's going to be some people that's going to be somewhere else. And you can look at it in Revelation 13, because when the beast comes into power, he's going to curse the temple. He's going to curse God. And he's going to blaspheme those that dwell in heaven. Why is that? Because the rapture happened. Hallelujah. I've been studying this thing, bless God. And I said, I'm learning more every day. Look with me at verse 11 of Revelation chapter 3. Notice what Jesus said here in the first century. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man, everybody say no man, take thy crown. Beloved, I want to tell you something. You need to live right. You need to walk right. You need to make sure you're lining up with the word of God. There's going to come people that are going to try to tell you, you don't need to keep that word. You don't need to do what the Bible says. Oh, that was just then. That just applied to them. No, we need to make sure we make an application of the word of God to all of our life.
Amen.
For this generation, we need to realize a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. When Jesus said that to him, he just got the words out of his mouth. He's getting ready to come back. Now look at verse 12 with me as we look at Revelation chapter 3. He gives us a promise here. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. One of the things that I was studying about this region of Philadelphia was that it was at the base of a mountain, and it was prone, the whole region was prone to earthquakes. And so that is talking about how we're going to be solid in God. Hallelujah. We're going to be in the New Jerusalem with God. We're going to stand with him. And he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. Now, I want you to get this in your mind for a minute. Think about how intimate Jesus is being with you. And he's being with those who don't deny his name, who hold on to his word. Hallelujah. Ain't that a beautiful imagery right there? He's saying, you're mine. And I'm claiming you, hallelujah. It's a lot like when me and Alicia got married. You know, we signed the marriage license there. I had to sign my name and she had to sign her name. We were claiming each other in the eyes of the Lord and in the eyes of God as husband and wife. In the same way, Jesus is saying, I'm claiming you as my own. You remember in Scripture, he said that those who do not deny him, that he will not deny them before the Father and before the angels. Hallelujah. If you profess Jesus as Lord and you witness to people and you testify, you come to church, you live right, you do what God calls you to do, you got a day coming where Jesus is going to say, that one's mine. I believe he does it now. When the devil comes and he tempts you spiritually, he tells the enemy, you got to get your hands off of him, Satan. That one belongs to me. She belongs to me. She's confessed with her mouth that Jesus is Lord and believed in her heart that God raised me from the dead. You can't touch that one, Satan. Hallelujah. My blood covers their life. Understands this. I will write upon him my new name. Now there's a lot of debate about what the new name of Jesus is. Some people say it's Yeshua. Some people say that it's this or that. I believe it's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Owner of it all. Hallelujah. You can put up there the completer. But this is going to be an intimate time. It's going to be a special time because you've held on. And you would not deny his name. Hallelujah. When you stumbled and you fell and you did things you shouldn't do, you got up and you kept walking on. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 13. And I think this, when it comes to studying prophecy, is key for us to understand. You are entitled to your opinion. I'm entitled to my opinion. And we can agree to disagree. Or we can grab hold of it. Because ultimately it's up to us. Are we willing to receive the words of Jesus? I don't know about you, but I'm going to believe what Jesus said. Amen. Notice what it says here. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Very simply, that means this. You can take it or leave it. It's your choice. The Bible says, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, why can't this church age that we're living in be the Laodicean church age? Let me give you just a couple of reasons right now. When you get a chance, go back and read verses 15 on of Revelation chapter 3. The church age then is lukewarm. They have absolutely no redeeming qualities in that church age. There's going to be people who's going to get right after the rapture happens. They're going to realize, oh, Lord, Mama was right. Daddy was right. Grandpa was right. And they're going to get right, but they're going to have to do it at the loss of their life. They're going to go through great persecution. They're in danger of divine judgment. Are you in danger of divine judgment tonight? Then you can't be the Laodicean church, are you? You're doing what God calls you to do. As you go on with this, you look at them, they are rich in worldly goods, but poor in spiritual goods. And are you poor? Are you a poor church spiritually? Are you full of Jesus? I don't know about you, but I'm full of Jesus. Hallelujah. I pray and seek the Lord, and I stay on my heart. Glory to God. These are going to be people that they're going to have a name of being children of God, but they're not going to have the works following. And we can go on. Look at this. We need to understand this. As we get ready to close, you read Revelation chapter 3. These are letters written to the seven church pastors. Did the pastors succeed? Only God knows. Are they that just to the church ages? I believe they're multiple applications. I believe it was to the church leaders that was living then. I believe that it applies to the church ages, which we are, the Philadelphia church age. In my opinion, we're the rapture generation, in my opinion. We're on the doorstep of the rapture. And we got to be ready. Hallelujah. But last and not least, there is also an individual application. Individually, I could be the Philadelphia church, what it says could apply to me. But the Laodicean church, or the Smyrna church, or Thyatira could apply to others. We need to make sure. I don't know about you, but the one I want to be like is the Philadelphia church. I want to be ready to go when Jesus comes. I want him to know my works, and I want him to know that I'm holding on to him and I'm not letting go of him. Hallelujah. And I want you to realize tonight, the Lord could come back. We're getting ready to go on vacation. The Lord could come back while we're on vacation. I don't want to go slack while I'm on vacation. I don't want to go slack while I'm at work or while my children might be at school. I don't want to go on slack because the Lord could come back. They need to be ready. I'm going to ask the praise team if they'll get ready to come back through the instruments and take us back to the throne of grace. 220 countries and territories have been affected by COVID-19. As we go to the Lord in prayer, I want you to look at these six reasons why we're on the doorsteps of the rapture tonight. Number one, the rapture hasn't happened, has it? You can't find anywhere in world history where a bunch of people disappeared and they don't know where they went. Different pocket, different thing. Number two, there is not one redeeming quality of the Laodicean church age. Number three, we have an open door like never before to carry the gospel. Brother Tim, Brother John brought it out in Sunday school today. You can go just about anywhere in the world in just a few hours. And you can travel around the world. I went to India, and it only took me 13 hours to get to India. When I went to Israel, it was only 13 hours to get there. Little influence, though. We have great opposition against us. And there has not been a global tribulation of unheard proportion, but it's coming. We see the start of it with COVID-19. Beloved, are you ready for the rapture? I'm going to ask every head to bow, every eye to close. Praise team, take us to the throne room of grace. Hallelujah. So that when you come back, I'll be ready to go. Hallelujah. Won't you pray and talk to the Lord as the praise team leads us in song? The altars are open if you want to come here, or if you want to pray in your seats. Just spend some time talking to the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Go ahead, praise team. Lord, help us not to grow slack in these days of tribulation and persecution like never before, of temptation and trials. Help us not to give up, O God. Help us, O God, not to give up praying for our lost loved ones. Help us not to give up, O God, seeking you, O Lord God, for your greatest gift, which is salvation. Lord, I pray that you would touch everyone under the sound of my voice tonight, Lord God. If there's anything that would keep them from going in the rapture, help them to get it under the blood. If there's anything that would keep them from hearing you say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter in into the kingdom that was prepared for them from the foundation of the world, help them to get it under the blood, Lord. We pray for our families tonight, Lord God. Those that need to be here, but they're not, for whatever reason, Lord, we ask you to touch them, to save them, sanctify them, fill them with the Holy Ghost. Lord, we don't want the family circle to be unbroken, God. We want them there, Lord. We cry out, oh God, Lord, help them to get a cross in their life. Lord, we pray for our backslid folk, oh God, that you would bring them right with you, oh Lord, God, that you would bring them back, Lord. Help them to be ready to go, Lord, because you're coming, and we want to be ready. And Father, we give you the praise and glory and honor because we believe, Lord God, that your return is even at the door. And we're so excited about it, Lord. We're looking with anticipation. We're listening, God, for the trump to sound. We're looking to see our loved ones who have passed on. Get up out of the ground, Lord God. Hallelujah. We're looking to meet them in the air with our Lord and Savior and be with you forever. God, we give you the praise and glory and honor for it. Have your way in our world. Have your way in our lives, God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Can you give the Lord praise tonight? Hallelujah. I am studying this thing. I want to be right. Hallelujah. I used to not mess with prophecy because I said, who can understand it? But God corrected me on that. I want you to be ready. Don't you?
Amen.
Don't you want your family to be ready and to stay ready? The Bible says, in the last day, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We need to make sure we stay on fire for Jesus. Amen. Love you. Y'all be praying for us as we go on vacation. Tennessee's not too far away. If I got to get back, we can get back. But Brother Tim will be here. I know he'll have everything under control. If you need anything, call him. And we love you. Thank you for allowing us the opportunity to be your pastors. If all hearts and minds are clear, Brother Kasiah, would you dismiss us with a word of prayer?
Father God, we come for your grace to this evening, Father. We come humbly thanking you for another day. Thanking you for your word, Father. Be ready. Ready to go.